This is Cape Talk.
Morning, Fallhammer. It's lovely to have you back with us again. What's the origin of your name?
A noble one, I believe, okay. Mornay. But that's like I said to you before, if you spell it Mornay, then I'm a white cheese sauce.
No cheese inside today, just green plants, please. Okay. Mornay is, of course, the owner of Superplants Garden Centre in Tekkai. And just a reminder that he's got more than 3 decades experience in the garden centre business. He is a former president of the SA Nursery Association, and he knows his plants inside out and upside down. So if you are having soil challenges, pest challenges, if you want advice on what to plant in a particular part of your garden, today is the day to call in and ask on 021 446 0567. You can also send a voice note to 0725671567. Now, one of our listeners, Mornay, sent us a photograph of a particular pest that he's been struggling with, and I think Rafik showed it to you.
That's
ahead
right,
of the show, and he's going to tweet it for those who are listening. It's a red pepper plant that's got what looks like a sort of a spiky white caterpillar on it. And Martin in Sea Point wanted to know, what is this bug and how do I get rid of it? Did you recognize it?
No, recognized it immediately. It's quite common on plants that are normally grown in sheltered areas, especially indoor plants. And we commonly refer to it as a mealybug, which is a sucking insect. And you get male and female of this particular insect. And the males can get quite big. They can get terrifically big, up to 4 millimeters long. Ooh. So they're quite large.
Okay.
And we tend to think of them as stationary insects because they normally sit in the nodes of plants. But they move around quite a lot on your plants. And the most important thing is when you're looking at controlling it, if you have an outbreak, is don't only control the plant, but also the soil. But especially with indoor pot plants, what you'll find is the mealybug actually nests in the soil. And if you don't spray the soil as well, then you sort of just getting rid of the adults which are on the plant. And before you know it again, they're back
the next generation takes over.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So if you're looking at a chemical, any chemical product on the market, which is deltamethrin in, will work really, really well on it. Alternatively, if you've got a couple of bugs on the plant, you can just simply remove them and just keep an eye out on them. You just don't want that population to explode. But where we find the problem normally occurs is in areas that don't get a lot of airflow, not well ventilated, lack of humidity tends to also encourage the pest. And then, as with all plants, never forget that if your plant is under stress, be it from feeding or otherwise, that's when insects target them. It's the law of nature. The insects will always target the weakest plant. If there's 10 of them standing next to each other, they'll always go for the weakest plant. That's just how it is. And that's also an indication that you need to feed the plants up, get them going, maybe sometimes even prune them back a little bit to ensure airflow. We know we have that same problem later in the season with things like tomatoes, where your leaves start going yellow on the bottom and you get fungal disease in this. And it's normally just simply because they've been planted too close together and you're not getting air circulation. Okay. And then watering over leaves can also be a problem, more with funguses than with insects, because it creates a high humidity. And in that high humidity, that's where we get fungal disease. It's exactly this what mushrooms like. You remember, high humidity. If you want to, if you go mushroom foraging, you know that if we get rain today and sun 3 days in a row, that's when you go looking for them, because that's exactly high humidity, perfect environment in the forest areas, Tekkai forests, and so that's when you're going to find the mushrooms.
So you said that watering onto the leaves can be an issue there, so better to water straight into the soil where the plant's going into the soil.
Exactly, especially that, because otherwise you can aggravate the situation when it comes to fungal diseases, because you're just increasing the humidity around the leaves, and that's where the funguses will be prevalent. With insects itself, normally at this time of the year, especially in dry conditions, you actually want to do a little bit different. You want to create a bit of a mist around the plants, because they absorb moisture through their leaves. Okay. So if you've got an indoor pot plant which you seem to be giving enough water but it still looks a little bit shriveled, try just misting it, especially things like orchids, because they are tropical plants. They don't like dry heat. They like high humid environments.
I'm so glad you mentioned orchids, because we've actually had a question from Tanya about how one cleans white moss growth off them.
Okay, well, now you must want to be very careful. When we're talking about orchids, for instance, on their roots, remember they are epiphytes, which are air plants. Their roots have got a white powdery almost effervescence on them. That is quite natural. You do not want to wipe that off at all. You're going to be doing the plant a lot of harm, because it's those very, very fine microscopic roots which are actually responsible for absorbing moisture out of the atmosphere. Normally, they just grow on the side of a tree in nature, most of the orchids. They're not terrestrial at all. So you don't want to wipe that off. But it's important to keep orchid leaves inside clean. You know, a buildup of dust, it literally clogs the pores. I mean, it's the easiest way to put it. And there you can simply take a cloth or a sponge with a little bit of dishwashing liquid on it and just wipe off the dirt. It's as simple as that. You do get fancy sprays which you can put on leaf shines and things. But in my experience, a little bit of washing detergent will take that grease and the grime straight off.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you very, very much. Going back to that mealybug you mentioned, Mornea WhatsApp saying what to do if the mealybug population has already exploded and is killing the plants.
Oh, well, then it's the best thing to do is to spray. Now, there are some organic options that you can use. And I think everybody must take note that when you're looking at the new organic insecticides, they require quite a lot of management. If we look at chemicals, it's sort of a spray. They're either a contact or a stomach poison, which gets absorbed into the insect, and it'll kill it virtually immediately. One must just remember that there's no chemical on earth that will kill an egg. Only the nymph or the adult stage. Yeah, very important. That's why successive spraying and successive management of plants is very important. You think, okay, I've got it under control. Then 2 weeks later, your pest is back and you don't understand why. It's because those eggs are hatched. And obviously, every type of insect has got a slightly different life cycle in terms of how long it takes. And normally, we would say a week to a week and a half is the general rule with insects to spray to ensure that you get rid of that successive generation. But when you look at your biological pests, pesticides that you now have, and they are fantastic, they work well, but they've got a longer mode of operation, let's put it that way, because many of the pesticides are live bacteria.
Yeah.
So what happens is you're spraying a bacteria which is specific, host specific onto your plant. So it will target, for instance, certain bacteria will just target caterpillars. Others will just target general insects, soft insects like mealybug.
Okay.
And the bacteria then infects that insect and the insect then dies. But it will take a slightly longer period of time. The specific bacteria that you get on the market, which you spray for caterpillars, which is only for caterpillars, is actually quite interesting because it literally gives the caterpillars diarrhea. That's what happens. It gets a stomach bug, and basically it just dies of dehydration. It's as simple as that. So it's very, and there's no secondary infection. So the bird that comes along and eats the caterpillar
is fine.
It's fine, okay, because that bacteria has no effect on anything else.
Yeah.
There are certain bacterial cultures that they use to control mosquitoes in water, where in the past it was terrible because they'd have to spray a chemical into water. Now you have a bacteria which actually acts not at the adult stage, but on the little larva stage of the mosquito. So you can apply this in the water, 100% safe for all other animals and insects and whatnot, all except the insect larva. It's very host specific.
So yeah, it takes it out before it ever even grows into
exactly. But one must just remember, whenever you're using a natural or biological control, it requires different management, and one must be aware of it. There are fantastic natural products on the market to use for insect control, but I find that they work better preventatively than curatively. So if you're spraying, for instance, a wonderful product to use is neem oil, Bioneem. That's a fantastic preventative because the oil itself is a deterrent for insects. They don't like that environment. So it'll keep the insect away, but once you've got the insect, you can drown it in neem oil. It's going to laugh at you. You know, One must just remember everything in context, and, you know, the old, as a gardener, as a consumer, read the instructions, understand the instructions. And my advice when it comes to especially chemicals, and I really implore everybody out there, never double dose. You can only kill something once. You know, some people say, and nowadays the products on the market, Pippa, are very concentrated. Some of them are 1 milliliter to a liter of water. You get a small little 1 mil syringe that comes in the box,
sure,
and people think, oh no,
it's never going to work.
It's never going to work. It's for, you know, let's put 10. You know, this is, and what you're doing is you're doing huge environmental damage. And also damage to your plants, because there is a chemical concentration which is get to a level which is just not good for plants either. So follow instructions, rule number one.
It goes for human treatments as well.
Yep.
It shouldn't have to be said, but it does have to be said. Really pays to read the instructions and follow them accurately. Morne Follhammer is with us taking your gardening questions on 021-446-0567. We've also got quite a few voice notes. Let's take a listen to one or two of those, Obi.
Good afternoon. The question is simply about moles. How do I get rid of moles? I've tried chemicals, I've tried sticking things into the ground, I've tried drowning them out. What would be the most effective remedy to guard against moles terrorizing the garden?
I love that, terrorizing the garden. Yeah, I know, that's exactly what they do. First of all, we must just quickly talk about moles. In the Western Cape, two different types of moles that
one
we...
One that's protected, not so.
Well, yes, yeah. The golden dune mole is a protected species, but let's call about the little runner moles. They're small, they're incredibly cute, they're carnivorous, they don't eat plants. So all they do is they run just below the surface, they're great at eating all the chojos in your garden that actually you don't want them in the first place. And although they're disruptive... you know, their burrows can be, you can simply stomp it down and you sort of can live with them. Obviously, then you've got your mole rats. And those are the ones that literally push up Table Mountain heaps of, you know. They actually eat plants. So specifically bulbs and roots of plants. But they're very destructive because their burrows, you know, just keeps on caving in. So one must understand that they require slightly different management. There are these sonic... pegs that you put down, they are either battery operated or solar. They send out the sonic signal, and there are different models on the market, Pippa. Okay. Some work better than others, but once again, it's also a management thing. If you don't leave a place for the mole to get out, if you corral him in a corner, all he's going to do is going to stay in that corner.
Mm.
You've got to be clever about how you get him out of your garden, be it by the back gate or into your next door neighbor or whatever. Leave him a way out. And then you also have to understand that the sonic signal that gets sent is just an irritation to the mole. So it doesn't mean it's going to work on day one. You know, it's going to work on day three or day four. He's going to say, but this constant buzzing is really irritating me. And move it around. So what you're trying to do is corral it out. Then any allium based, which is the active ingredient in garlic and onions. So if you plant onions or wild garlic, or you can even make your own garlic extract, they don't like the smell of that. I have heard from many of my customers who use lime sulfur, and they plant small amounts of lime sulfur either in liquid or in the powder form. Okay. You know, that smells literally like rotten eggs, but it's also that's where sulfur comes from, is the allium, the garlic. That's what gives you the smell on your breath. Put that down the hole as well. But it's important when you're pouring it down to the hole is first make sure that burrow is entirely open. You don't want to just throw it in and then it caves in after that.
Yeah.
That smell must be able to dissipate down. And it is difficult to control because one of the biggest problems people don't realize, moles are incredibly territorial. So what happens is when you get rid of one, he's keeping the others out of that area. But if you get rid of one mole, it's not going to be long and another one's going to come into that space, especially if your property is anywhere near public open space. Mm-hmm. It's going to be such a difficult one. I mean, you know, if you've got a house which is next to a public park, the best advice, get a really active Jack Russell.
I live quite close to Rondebosch Common, and you've just explained an awful lot about what goes on in my garden.
And we must remember, they were here first. It's one of those things we've got to live with. Yeah.
Listen, if you've got the runner moles, you can call me because I have an absolute thing for stamping those burrows down flat again. I love doing it. Every day when I arrive at my fitness class at Inside Out Fitness at the Western Province Cricket Club, Morne, there's usually a nice new mole runner for me to go and flatten out on arrival. It's a little bit of an obsession. There we go. Confession time. You can phone me to come and sort it out for you. Okay. I think we can squeeze in another voice note or two. Let's take one more for now.
Hello, Pippa. Please can you ask your guest, I have a problem with red spider mites on tomatoes. Every year I move them and I plant them in a different spot, and every year I get red spider mites. Is there anything that I can do before the plants are grown to prevent red spider mites from taking hold? Thank you.
Unfortunately, not before. There's no treatment that you can give the soil or anything to that effect. Unfortunately, that's going to be problematic. The best way to control, in my experience, is a pyrethroid-based insecticide. We must remember that there are synthetic pyrethroids and also natural pyrethroids, and it's an extract that comes from a type of daisy bush. Okay. The natural pyrethroids are the plants that are grown mostly for it are in Kenya. They are the biggest producers for this natural insecticide, but you also get a synthetic, and it works very well. There used to be an insecticide on the market which was called Red Spidercide. That's now fallen off. Okay. You don't get it anymore, but there are others. So just look for any pyrethroid-based insecticide. And once again, feed your plants. The stronger and the healthier the plant is, especially with tomatoes, the less of a problem you're going to have. Okay. And there are also natural biological insecticides now which are targeted specifically on that. And I know the cannabis growers use it.
Okay. Yeah. Good to know. Thank you. Right. We'll finish with back to the mealybugs. It is the day of the mealybugs for sure. A WhatsApp asking, can you use methylated spirits for mealybug?
Not really. It's not really going to use as a deterrent. The only thing that you use methylated spirit for that I would ever recommend is a little mite that you get on aloes. And it creates these galls on an aloe.
Yes.
And many years ago, before we had any fancy chemicals, we would use 10 mils of methylated spirits on a liter of water, and that would kill that mite. That's the only thing. But methylated spirits, unfortunately, what happens is it's a very volatile a chemical. So when it dissipates off the leaf, it actually draws moisture out. You must remember that. It's a transfer of energy. And with that evaporation, it also builds up a little bit of heat. So it's not very good for the surface area.
You just need to think about what happens to your skin if you get it on your skin to know.
Exactly. That it dries it out.
Factor. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Okay. All right. I think that's all right. One last mealybug question. Anonymous saying, I have an Indian hawthorn whose branches have gone black and it is riddled with mealybugs. What to do?
Okay. The black is a secondary infection. It's black sooty mold. The mold actually lives off the secretion of the mealybug, so don't worry about that. If you get the mealybug under control, that will go away. On a hawthorn, it's a hardy a shrub. There are systemic products that you can use which will give your plant literally 8 to 10 months control. Okay. So what happens is you dose the soil, the chemical will then get taken up by the plant, and it literally works from the inside out. Which is, for long-term prevention, a very good way of looking for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Monet, as always, you're just a walking garden encyclopedia. Thank you so much for coming in to join us again today. We'll see you soon.
Always a pleasure, Pippa.
Thank you.